Good morning. We've been doing a series for many months on how much God cares for us, as you know. And then we sort of took a subset of that on because he cares for us, he helps us be resilient so we can bounce back from challenges, because we all have challenges. Sometimes they're little tiny challenges. Sometimes they're huge life-changing events. But we have to be resilient and be able to bounce back from them. I'm reminded of something, I think Peter, you said this to me in a text this week, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And that's true. I mean, you always look at what you got. And problem is people will often look, well, I'm short of this and I'm short of that and this is going wrong, therefore my next year is going to be a mess. Well, not as long as we have the promises of God, because I may be really short of something I'd like to have or I need more of. But as long as I have God's promises, I won't be forsaken, and neither will you. So resilience is a big deal, and then we took a subset of resilience last week and talked about determination, and we're going to continue on that theme today. You may remember that one of the records we read about last week was about Hannah, Samuel's mother. She was so determined to have a son that she just kept praying. And ultimately ended up getting pregnant and having a son named Samuel, who she took to Eli the priest to serve the Lord. And we'll read a little bit about that. And I better switch from my songbook to my Bible. Otherwise, because I won't find 1 Samuel chapter 2 in my songbook. It's a good songbook, but it's not that good. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll read about some of the determination to be resilient that God helped Samuel with. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli, this is picking up right where we dropped off last time. Now the sons of Eli was the priest. He was the priest. He was sort of one of the judges of Israel, one of the people that led Israel, if not the main one, but his sons were not very good. And you actually see this a lot in the Bible. Everybody would like their sons to carry on their whatever it is they do, but it doesn't always happen. And the sons of Samuel are a good example of where it doesn't work. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Belial was one of the false gods, meaning they didn't serve the true God. It says they knew not the Lord. They didn't serve the true God. They didn't know God. And that's funny, because if anybody had the right education and upbringing to be able to walk with God, it would have been the sons of Samuel, or sons of Eli. Because Eli, as he got older, he sort of got a little flaky and wasn't too diligent in being a priest, but he never turned around and worshiped Belial. He just didn't do a very thorough job of carrying out his responsibilities. So the sons of Eli could have done well. But then the other thing I think you find if you keep reading is Samuel's sons didn't do that well either. So it happens with a lot of people. David's sons, a couple of them, tried to take over his kingdom, tried to kill him. Solomon was the one son that did well, but then he turned away from God, and his son Rehoboam was a real flake. So it just happens. When it comes down to life, you can do one thing. You can love God and try to walk with God, because you have control over that. Everybody else in the world, they're going to go do whatever they want. And sometimes they'll do really well and treat you well, and sometimes they'll do very poorly and treat you poorly. Because that's one thing that, and I know I've talked about this before, where I believe with our study of God's Word, we might understand this a little better than some, but there are just so many people that want to say that God controls everything. Well, God gives people freedom of will. God can do huge things for you when you pray, but he can't change somebody's mind if they don't want to change their mind. He can give them little nudges and little encouragements and this and that, but people are going to do what they want to do. and the sons of Eli, unfortunately, were like that. So, I haven't gotten very far. Better keep reading. Got to get to the second verse. So, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12. Now, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's customs with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in seething, while it was boiling, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pot or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden or boiled flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, because apparently I'm no expert on the laws of sacrifices, but I think they were supposed to burn the sacrifice first, burn the fat off, and then give it to the priest as an offering. So some people objected. So verse 15, also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he'll not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. It means they just didn't pay any attention to what God said. But Samuel, verse 18, ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. So here's Samuel in this situation where Eli the priest is not totally ungodly, but a little flaky and a little lazy and not really walking with God. And his sons are absolutely doing the opposite of God's word. And here's Samuel, this young man. Talk about being in a nasty situation. Talk about office politics. Talk about, you know, whatever it is about a job you don't like. He was in a tough situation as a young man. Now, some people would give up. Some people would just give in and go along with the godless example of the sons of Eli. Some people would say, forget it. That deal my mom made with Eli doesn't apply anymore because they're not walking with God. There's all kinds of things that could happen. But Samuel didn't do any of those. He just walked with God. Reminds me of Daniel in the lion's den, or that verse in Psalms where David says, people, accuse me without a cause, but I do meditate on thy word. Everybody's after David, and he's just sitting there thinking, that's a cool verse in Leviticus. While everybody's yelling at him and trying to attack his kingdom. Because that's the one thing you can really control, is your heart before God. And I think that's just such a big deal. I think Christians spend way too much time being worried about everybody else and everything going on in society. Nothing wrong with trying to improve things when you can prove it. But there's only so much you can do to help other people do better, and there's only so much you can do to affect society. But what you can always control is your walk with God. And if you focus on that, God will take care of you. Any rate, boy, we're not getting very far. Lord, I get through four verses now? Verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, that's Samuel's parents, and said, the Lord give thee seed to this woman, for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own house. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. So she had five more kids. Or four more kids. Not sure, but she had more kids. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and heard that his sons did unto all, heard all that his sons did unto Israel. Now they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. See, God had a plan to get rid of them, and they didn't listen. Okay. Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And you see this happen a lot. I know there are situations where people stoned Stephen and tried to stone Jesus Christ. But there are a whole lot of places where when people walk with God and do what God asks them to do, then they have good favor with God and man. And he was in one of those situations where everybody was impressed with Samuel. So the child Samuel, verse 26, grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest? Talking about Aaron, who all the priests came out of the line of Aaron. To be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm, and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes, and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that thou shalt come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And if we read far enough, we'll find out they did. I think Eli died on the same day, or right around there. And I will raise me up a faithful priest, that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. And he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a priest's piece of bread. So Samuel was in a sort of a tough situation there, where nothing around him was good, but he still walked with God. And I think about this frequently. Same thing I've often talked about. Daniel and Joseph are two people I looked at, because they were bureaucrats working for unbelieving dictators. To put it in our terminology, they were dictators who ruled with absolute power, heathen nations, and yet they walked with God and were unbelievably successful. They didn't spend all their time griping about, you know, this nasty dictator and these terrible heathen people and railing on them. Now Paul did when he went to, but that was his ministry. You know, when he went to Athens, he did tell them, quit being idolaters. But that was not Daniel's or Joseph's job to do that. It was just to be really good bureaucrats and walk with God and help the king prosper. And because they so walked with God and listened with God, they did a really good job in the government, and God blessed them, and they prospered. And both of them brought great deliverance and great help to God's people by what they did. So Samuel was in a similar situation. Eli's just barely walking with God, and his sons aren't walking with God at all. And God basically says, I'm going to throw you and your entire family out. Now, he didn't throw out the whole priesthood, the whole line of Aaron. It was just Eli and his descendants that got thrown out. Now, let's read a little background about those sacrifices. Let's go to Exodus 29. And then we'll go on and read more about Samuel's training. But it must have taken some determination on Samuel's part to not be affected by the incompetence and dishonesty around him. Exodus, Genesis, Exodus 29. And verse 31. Exodus 29 and verse 31. Thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seethe or boil his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his sons, that's the priests, shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. So the sacrifices were brought, who were to boil the meat, then the priests were to eat. And it ought, and if ought, verse 34, if any of the flesh of the consecrations of the bread remain unto the morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. So you bring your ram to the priests, boil the meat, the priests eat as much as they eat, anything left the next morning, throw in the fire and burn. And thus, the whole idea of having a refrigerator and a microwave to heat it up, that just, even if they had the technology, yeah, that was, it wouldn't have worked. Don't do that. Verse 35, and thou shalt do unto Aaron, oh no, that's go ahead. Let's go to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 3. We'll read a little more here. By the way, I did teach this once before at fellowship, but I looked at my notes. It was 21 years ago. So the chances of you remembering this and saying, oh, he already taught that, I figured we're fairly slim. I know you weren't here, Camille, and I don't know if your parents were there that day. So I barely remember it myself. Okay, Leviticus 3, verse 12. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. Leviticus 3:12. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. Verse 15, and the two kidneys, and the fat which is upon them, which is above the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall take away. And the priest shall what? Burn them upon the altar. It is the foodly offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is who? The Lord's. So the sons of the priest, Eli the priest, tried to take the meat before the fat was burned, directly in contrary to the word of the Lord. Now, we're not under this law today, but, you know, I made a pot roast the other day and I left all the fat on it. And I ate it, but it wasn't a Levitical offering. It was my pot roast. So I wasn't breaking the Old Testament law. But back then, that was the law, and you had to do it that way. Verse 17, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. So that's just a little background on what the sons of Eli were doing wrong. Now let's go on to 1 Samuel 3 and read about Samuel's training. Again, it took determination. Didn't give up. Helped him to, you know, and he had to be resilient because the current order was falling apart. And I'm not sure we'll get to this part, but like I said, when the Philistines attack, there's a day when they take the ark and Eli and his sons die in the same day. And now, Eli and his sons are die, and then Samuel's left. I mean, it'd be weird enough your mother takes you off as a kid to work for this guy who's sort of flaky and has these really dishonest sons, and you're sort of learning the business and how to do the job, and then all of a sudden the Philistines attack and everybody dies. So at least he had somebody to work with. Now they're all dead. What am I going to do now? Talk about needing some resilience to come back from that. That would be something. Mm-hmm. But he does, because he listens to God and God shows him what to do. So 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It was very scarce. Because remember, in those days, not everybody had the Spirit of God. God would put his Spirit upon certain prophets and priests and judges and others that would walk with him. And then God could talk to them, and then they could speak to the people. But the only person around in that position was Eli. Like I said, he was sort of flaky. I'm not sure he had walked with God earlier in his life, but by this time he wasn't walking with God. His sons certainly weren't walking with God. So there was nobody who had the Spirit of God operating manifestations of Holy Spirit and listening to God. So, no open vision in that time. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he couldn't see. It happens to many people as they get older, couldn't see. And Er, before the lamp of God, representing the presence of God, went out in the temple or tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And you see, here's the great thing. God couldn't get Eli to walk with him, and he certainly couldn't get his sons to walk with him, but he went and found somebody that would listen to him, this little kid, Samuel. I don't know how old he was, 5, 10, 15, but he wasn't a grown adult. He was a young man, and he was willing to listen to God. And it's a great learning for what we often talk about is not limiting God. If God can't come through with you for you this way, or with this person, or this group of people, or this company, or this organization, he can find another way to come through. There may be another person, another group, another organization, another job, another something that will take care of everything you need, because he can't get the one you wanted to work out to work out. He'll come through in another way. So that's why we don't limit God. So at any rate, the Lord called Samuel, verse 4, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou callest me." He thought it was Eli calling him. And he said, "I call not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Hey boss, I'm here. You called me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Clearly God had put his Spirit on him so God could talk to him, but Samuel just didn't understand what was going on. And I think that happens to a lot of people in life. They're born again. God gives them revelation. They have no idea. And that's okay. But it's great to study these scriptures and learn a little bit about how God talks to people so you can recognize when it's God. And God doesn't always tell you what you need to know. Sometimes he lets you figure it out, but there are many times he does. So, the Lord called yet again. Verse 6, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, lie down again." Now Samuel didn't know the word of the Lord. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli finally wakes up. This is why I say he's a little flaky. It's not like he's gone off and worshipped Belial. He's just a little rusty and flaky and not quite with him. I can't judge him for that, because none of us are perfect, but he was a guy who once probably walked with God, but hasn't been doing it for a while. So, and Eli perceived, the end of verse 8, that the Lord had called the child. He finally caught on. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, "Samuel! Samuel!" Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, Well, there's God doing his thing. I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons have made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn at the house of Eli, sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. See, nobody else was. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. He said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. God backed up what Samuel said. And all Israel, from Dan, way up in the north, even to Beersheba, way down in the south, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So that was Samuel's education. It wasn't from Eli. The only thing Eli did was go, Hey, God's talking to you. Answer him. That was the extent of what Eli did for him. Eli's sons did nothing for him, but you see, God came through. And it's important to know that. Because again, I've said this many times, it's great when people are there with you to help you, to teach you, to pray for you, to love you. It's wonderful. And we all want to enjoy that. But most of life, you're on your own. Because most of life, you're off doing your responsibilities, and I'm off doing my responsibilities, and there's nobody there. So what do? Say, nobody's here, so I'm going to crash and burn? No. God's going to take care of me. And then when I am around somebody who loves me and wants to help me, great. But you can almost get spoiled and get used to that. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people like that, and I've experienced that myself. You get used to everybody being there and loving you and helping you. Then you're on your own, and you go, oh, I can't function. Mm-hmm. Well, Samuel was on his own, and he functioned because God helped him. And then when you do get to get together, then you got, you know, you pray together, you encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron. It's great. But when that's not going on, so what? God's still there. God's the constant. God's the constant. He's the one that's always there for you. Well, let's see. I think we have another chapter. We'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Yes. This is an interesting record. This is sometime later. After Samuel's grown up a bit more. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the Ark of the Lord, because the Philistines had captured it. And that was a big upset. That's when the day the Philistines captured the Ark, I think, was the day when Eli and his sons died. So now they're going to get it back. So the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the Ark of the Lord and brought it unto the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the Ark of the Lord. It came to pass, while the Ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth, one of the strange gods, from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. See, it took some determination on Samuel's part to stay with it. Eli just sort of gave up. Figured, oh, my sons are bums. I'll yell at him a little bit, and then go back to sleep. But not Samuel. He stayed with it, that he was going to continue to stay faithful to the Lord and try to bring the Israelites around. So after 20 years of no ark, He said, put away those gods, and they did. Verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said unto them, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The Philistines had pretty well dominated them and harassed them for years. But this point in time, they put away their false gods. And they're going to get some help from God. Verse 8, and the children of Israel said unto Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord, including the fat. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on the day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, or confused them. And they were smitten, they were overcome before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer. It means the stone of help. Ebenezer, the stone of help, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did it, in the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit. Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. So that's quite a story, and there's a lot more about Samuel. You can read the whole book. But the fact that he was even born took the determination of his mother, that she was resilient and came back from being barren because of God's care. And then Samuel had to be resilient to come back from having a flaky boss and co-workers who didn't walk with God, and he still walked with God. And then he had to be resilient here and be determined to be resilient because Israel had walked away from God for so long and were, you know, basically occupied by the Philistines. And because of his determination to walk with God, he was resilient and brought Israel back from that. And with God's care, they basically got their independence back. They threw the Philistines out and got to live prosperously. So we have an amazing God. And like I say, I'm all for people working together and things like that. But here's a great example of if nobody's with you, God can be. So rather than spend a whole lot of time worrying about other people and other groups and other trends in society, I think it's much more profitable to focus on trusting God and expecting him to be there to take care of us. And the trends in the society and the groups will figure themselves out. And we can just figure out walking with God. So Heavenly Father, I love you. We appreciate you. We're thankful to you. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints that we can get together and read your word, that we can pray for one another. We pray for Dee Dee's continued health and resilience, that we can just see her continue to be up and around and be strong. I pray for each and every person here for whatever concerns or issues they may be dealing with, that you will bless them abundantly, give them great deliverance, great victory, great vision on how they can walk with you and see their prayers answered and see victory in their lives. Pray for housing and employment for Peter, that all that works out to be a great blessing where he can not only have his physical needs taken care of, but where he can continue to grow spiritually and be a blessing to others there in the St. Louis area. Thank you for all of this and for the joy of walking with you and believing your word. and living it together. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.